Well, please turn with me to our text for this evening, to Habakkuk, the book of Habakkuk. The minor prophet, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Okay, we'll read a few verses. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. Now follow as I read. Habakkuk chapter 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. Now come to verse 5 are the words of the Lord in reply to Habakkuk. And now verse 12, Habakkuk replies, Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devours the man that is more righteous than he? Chapter 2 and verse 1. I will stand upon my watch, and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Amen. Now the book of Habakkuk begins with the prophet Habakkuk complaining to the Lord that Judah, the people of God of old, was apostatizing. They were lawless. They had little regards for the glory of God, nor did they have any regard for the plight of the righteous. Habakkuk was perplexed at why the Lord was delaying to chastise those who sin amongst his people. He says in verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Well, the Lord's reply was not only unexpected, but utterly shocking to Habakkuk. The Lord told Habakkuk that he was going to raise up the Chaldeans, or the Babylonians, that cruel and hasty people, to punish Judah. Habakkuk was astounded. How can that be? He says in verse 13, Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devourest the man that is more righteous than he? How could God, who is infinitely holy and hates sin with a perfect hatred, make use of a nation more sinful than Judah to punish Judah? Habakkuk seems convinced that there can be no satisfactory reply to his question. He says in chapter 2, verse 1, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and I will answer when I'm reproved. Well, whatever Habakkuk is saying, the Lord's answer came sooner than Habakkuk had expected. It was an answer that not only convinced Habakkuk, but it became the foundation of the Christian church in the New Testament and the theological torch that set the Reformation of the 16th century alight. What did the Lord say? Well, the gist of his answer is found in verse 4, chapter 2. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The rest of chapter 2 contains a prophecy or vision that elaborates and applies this thesis statement in the context of the troubles in the days of Habakkuk. But this evening, the Lord helping us, as part of our study on the great and precious promises of that are found in the Word of God, we are going to consider this thesis statement of the Lord given through Habakkuk. And you realize that this statement is actually both a declaration as well as a promise. We can infer three thoughts from it. First of all, from it we can infer that all men fall short of God's righteousness. Secondly, we can infer that the wages of unrighteousness is death. And thirdly, we see directly from it that the just shall live by faith. Consider our first proposition. All men fall short of God's righteousness. The Lord says through Habakkuk, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. Now it's clear from the context that the Lord has the Babylonian invaders as an example of this general statement. The Babylonians were proud and puffed up. Their desires were not upright. This is not merely a statement of fact. It is, we must realize, a statement of condemnation. The Babylonians would be judged and condemned because they were proud, self-righteous, self-reliant, and they failed to acknowledge God. They thought themselves to be a law unto themselves, and they thought they were right in all that they did. But all men fall short of the glory of God. All men fall short of the righteousness of God. Therefore the Babylonians fall short of God's righteousness. In fact, in that they thought themselves to be great and glorious without any regard for God, their Creator, they added pride to arrogance to their sin of presumption. But now what is true of the Babylonians is actually true for all men. Satan tempted Adam and Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit by promising them that they would have God-like autonomy. Ye shall be as gods, he said. It was a lie. Nevertheless, every natural descendant of Adam since that time have swallowed that lie hook, line and sinker. man resents God's authority. He hates to think that there's anyone who has authority over his will. He believes that he is a law unto himself. He does not want to do according to the law of someone else. He wants to act according to his free will, which he insists that he has. Therefore, the natural man is by nature arrogant, proud, and self-righteous. His desires are only for his own glory and own pleasure. What is the natural man's chief pursuit in life? It is his own glory and his own pleasure. The natural man has no regard to God, his creator, who is all-seeing and all-knowing. His soul is lifted up. His path up is not upright at all in the sight of God, as the Babylonians stood condemned. So the natural man stands condemned. But this leads us to our second point, which is that the wages of unrighteousness is death. The first point, we see that all men fall short of God's standard of righteousness. Now, secondly, we see that the wages of unrighteousness is death. Now, this is implied in our text, because when the Lord says, "But the just shall live," he is implying at the same time that the unjust shall not live. The unjust or the unrighteous shall die. And this agrees with the doctrine revealed in the New Testament more clearly. The Apostle Paul says the wages of sin is death. And the Apostle John says all unrighteousness is sin. Therefore the wages of unrighteousness is death. What death are we talking about? Not just physical death, but spiritual and eternal death. We are familiar with physical death and all the sicknesses and bodily afflictions associated with it. What is spiritual death? Well, spiritual death is essentially being dead in sin and trespasses. The natural man cannot do anything that's good and righteous. All that he does is sin. In fact, all that is in his heart is sin. All his righteousness, as the prophet Isaiah will remind us, are but filthy rags in the sight of God. But what about eternal death? For eternal death involves separation from God today and for all eternity. The natural man therefore cannot enjoy God's love and fellowship, neither in this life nor in eternity. Instead, the natural man deserves God's wrath and curse for all eternity. When Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, they brought death to all mankind descending from them by natural generation. Man's desire for freedom from God, together with his faith in the devil, has brought untold miseries to him and his descendants down the generations. All the bad things of this life, death, illnesses, sorrows, tears, disappointment, pain, injustice, evil, separation, quarrels, wars, etc., etc., all arose from sin. They're part of the consequences of the fall. And that sin, especially, is the sin of arrogance and pride. And man cannot extricate himself from the sad situation that he's in, because there is none good, no, not one. man is spiritually dead. There's none that seek after God. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Left to themselves, mankind is doomed and hated for destruction. The wages of unrighteousness is death. Physical, spiritual, and eternal. But thanks be to God, there is hope, for life is promised for all who walk by faith. And this is the third and most important proposition from our text, namely that the just shall live by faith. But the just shall live by his faith, says the Lord. There is in this statement a very sharp contrast being posited between the Babylonians and the Jews who believe in the Lord. The just shall live by their faith. The word faith in our text translates a Hebrew word which means faithfulness or fidelity. But of course, faith and faithfulness are related. One who's faithful is exercising faith or trust in an object of faithfulness or in a person of faithfulness. But the crucial question is, what does Habakkuk mean by the statement, "The just shall live by faith"? Well, some commentators would say that Habakkuk means nothing more than a life of security, protection, and fullness. That is, those who have faith in God, in general, will have a life of security and protection and material blessing. But this, beloved brethren and children, cannot be what Habakkuk means. For you see, the Holy Spirit does not leave us to guess what the verse means. But this verse is quoted 3 times in the New Testament. It's quoted in Hebrews 10:38, in Romans 1:17, and Galatians 3:11. Well, without going into a lot of details, we can see by studying the quotation in the context of the New Testament that the Holy Spirit intends for us to understand that Habakkuk is in fact saying the person who would live eternally must be justified by faith. Or, to put it more extensively, the elect of Christ will by faith in Christ receive and enjoy the benefits of justification, including eternal life. Now, we are all familiar with the doctrine of justification. Justification, according to the Westminster Shorter Catechism, is the act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoneth all our sin and accepteth us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. What this statement essentially teaches us is that God alone can pardon our sin and undo the curse of unrighteousness and receive us into fellowship with him. How does he do so? He does so by sending the Lord Jesus Christ to take the punishment due to his people upon himself. Thus Christ came to live, suffer and die for his people. Christ came, in other words, to purchase righteousness for his people. He came to pay for the sin of his people. And he came to purchase righteousness for them. Why do we need righteousness? Well, we need righteousness because the wages of unrighteousness is death, spiritual. eternal. Unless we have righteousness, we can have no fellowship with God, and we will suffer His wrath and His curse. So we need righteousness. And Christ came to purchase it for us by His keeping the law, suffering on our behalf, dying on our behalf. But now He has completed the work of redemption. He has purchased what He will give to us. How? How do we receive this benefit that Christ has purchased for us? We receive it according to Habakkuk, or more accurately, according to the Holy Spirit, by faith. Faith in Christ. Faith in Christ for His finished work in His life and in His death. By His active and His passive obedience. Saving faith is a gift of God, which God gives to His elect, for whom Christ laid His life down for. By this faith we receive a righteous status before God, and therefore at the same time we receive eternal life. Because the wages of unrighteousness is death. When we have righteousness, then we have life. Thus the Apostle Paul says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith." But now the question is, how does this thought fit into what Habakkuk is saying? After all, it was given in this text. You'll remember that Habakkuk had asked God how it could be that He could use a nation more wicked than Judah to punish Judah, which is more righteous than the Babylonians. The Lord's answer is, "Behold, his soul which is upright is not, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." By this statement, the Lord is essentially saying to Habakkuk, yes, the Babylonians are puffed up. Yes, they are not upright. Yes, they will be judged. You can expect that. But what about the Jews? Well, the unbelieving Jews are in the same boat. The whole nation of Judah as a whole are in the same boat. None may live and escape judgment but those who trust in Him. Indeed, the Lord is implying to Habakkuk, you are wrong to compare the Jews with the Babylonians. There is no difference between the Jews and the Babylonians. They all fall short of the righteousness of God. Who is more wicked? Who is more righteous? Cannot be measured by man's standard, as Habakkuk had done. Habakkuk was looking at the Babylonians and was looking at his people. The Jews, wicked. They cannot for justice in the land. They oppress the poor. They cannot for the glory of God. But look, the Babylonians. They are terrible people. Hasty, cruel. No qualms about killing. So Habakkuk concluded, the Jews are more righteous. The Babylonians are wicked. But the Lord is saying, you are thinking wrong-headedly. In fact, as the Lord Jesus will remind us when he rebuked the city of Capernaum. The Jews in this context would in some sense be much more guilty than the Babylonians. Why so? Because the Jews have the word of God. They have the word passed down from generation to generation, and they have the word written. But the Babylonians did not have. So who's more wicked? The Jews were more wicked. And so the Lord essentially is telling Habakkuk, don't think that the Jews are righteous. Don't think that any of them deserve to live. Don't think that your people, the nation, deserve to live. The just shall live by his faith. Only those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah to come, shall live. Now this is a doctrine of justification. It answers a lot of life's perplexed questions, doesn't it? And it gives hope even to the chiefest of sinners. It glorifies God. For none may boast that he is better than others. God has made it clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory and righteousness of God. Yet, he will save whom he will, and that entirely by his grace. The just shall live by his faith. Now this is perhaps the most important promise and declaration of God that the fallen man must hear. Man is by nature proud and self-righteous. Because we are created in the image of God, we have a sense of morality. Every man knows to some extent what is right and what is wrong. And this sense of morality distinguish us from animals. This sense of morality is what causes revulsion and anger when we see and hear of gross wickedness in men, be it in the Assyrians or the Babylonians or the Nazis or the Islamists. But due to the corruption of our nature, we are not repulsed and angered by our own sin. We fail to realize that in the sight of God, we are all unrighteous. We fail to see that we deserve the same condemnation as the Babylonians or the Assyrians or the Nazis. Need we any proof of this than the fact that we are taught in the New Testament that the Lord Jesus Christ died for his church? If the church were righteous enough, why did Christ Jesus have to die? The just shall live by faith. Oh, may the Lord grant us that we may come to a realization that this is not just a theological proposition. It's something to do with Reformation. Time passed. Don't need to talk about it now. This is a very, very important doctrine. It is, as Martin Luther reminds us, the doctrine on which the church stands or falls. Take away justification, take away this doctrine that is taught by the Lord to Habakkuk, that the just shall live by his faith, then we take away the need for Christ altogether. Because if we are good enough, if there's any elements of good at all in us, why is there a need for the Messiah to come to suffer and die on our behalf? The fact is, there is none who can save himself. There's none who has any strength of good in him at all. Only the Lord Jesus Christ has righteousness. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can give us the righteousness that is good enough that we may have communion with God, that we may have enjoyment of God. This Sabbath we come together to observe the Lord's Supper. What do we do at the Lord's table? We remember the Lord's death on our behalf. Why need the Lord to die if we are good enough? If we have any shred of goodness in us, or our will can be so moved that we can be good enough to glorify God. Fact is, we are totally depraved. Christ came to save us, and only such as believe in him will know his justification, the righteousness that Christ can give to us. And we have his righteousness. We know justification by grace through faith in him alone. Then let us put all our trust in him. Let us not continue to live in a way of legalism, thinking that we are good enough, but realizing that we are never good enough, and yet at the same time that we are accepted by the Lord. And therefore, let us come to the table with gratitude in our hearts. A gratitude that life has been given us, not because we deserve it at all. We are no different from the Babylonians. No different from the worst people that you can think of in the world. It's entirely by God's grace that we are what we are. May the Lord help us. Amen. Shall we sing a song? Psalm 145. We'll sing from verse 15 to the end. Second meter, verse 15 to the end.